that, I'm operating on a, well, I'm in a separate room. I call my office or junk room or whatever. It's actually a bedroom that we don't use as a bedroom. And I'm gradually cleaning out stuff from 50 years of stuff, trying to get cleaned out, wondering what to do with it. So I'm operating on a 5-foot desk. I built a shelf across it that's about 6.5 feet long. And got my stuff here. And it's right on the wall. I had to drill through 5 inches of stone to get my cables outside. I've got two things that I wanted to make sure I tell you about. One is a story that you will really appreciate. If you go on the web, look up a logic named Joe. If you look around, you can probably find a version you can download. It was written in 1946, and you will find it extremely interesting because so much of what we're doing today was predicted by it. This thing is on 10 antennas. When we moved down here, I told the agent, do not show me something with an association. I will not even go look at it because most of them have the antenna rule. Well, I didn't have an antenna then to put up, and I waited 20 years to put one up. But I just put up an HF antenna, and it's one that you might find interesting because you can't see it unless you're right on top of it and know what you're looking at. Delta loop. Each side of the delta is 44 feet long, going to a 2-to-1 phalon. And my problem was I've got area, but not convenient area. I've got two trees that are 50 feet apart. I could put this 44-foot leg up between the two trees, and it's about 25 feet high. And because I'm on the side of a hill, it slopes down at about a 45-degree angle, so the apex where they have the balun is down at the bottom about a foot high. And then I run the coax back. I can't even see it at times. I know where it is. If you've got room to put something 44 feet long across the back of the house, and then it stretches out about 40 feet or so to get to the bottom, you might be able to use something like that.
Interesting, Ed. I have, well, let's see. If I can paint you a picture here, a mental picture. My backyard is about, well, let's see. My patio is 8 feet deep, concrete slab patio. It's surrounded by a privacy fence. Beyond that, the actual ground is 4 feet until you get to a retaining wall, which is about 5 feet in height. And above the retaining wall is another privacy fence, and that's 6 feet. So that's not a lot of land when you think about it, not a lot of soil when you think about it. But I have entertained the possibility of putting what I've heard some people call a fence antenna. That is an NVIS, you know it's going to be NVIS, that's on the top of that privacy fence. I haven't yet done that because there's some extenuating circumstances. There's work that's accomplished around those trimming of bushes and the like that grow over the top of this fence. And, you know, if you want to be clandestine about anything, in the beginning you plan it so that no one is going to run across things like this while they're accomplishing their work, you know. Those that in this HOA, no one who owns property here actually owns any property. We own by deed, we own the footprint of the house. No land belongs to any one person, not the land that's on the other side of your sidewalk, even, you know. The one advantage to that Donna, quite frankly, was looking at, it was that there's no lawn care. There's a regime fee, of course, that takes care of lawn care. And, oh well, it's not anything that I would choose now, but this was, we moved in here 22 years ago, 1999. And I had no idea 22 years ago that I'd be a ham and would like my privacy and a little bit of land. KK4JBQ.
Sketch here from your description. How long is your house from one end to the other, say?
Well, this house is part of a unit. It's sort of like row housing. There are three floor plans. There's the two largest floor plans are in the center, and then on either side of those two are floor plans that are a little larger, and then And then on the side of those two, on either side, is a little smaller yet. So again, we live in the units that have the largest floor plan. That was Donna's choice as well. But as it turns out, we're not on the end of this long building. We're in the middle of this long building. And the trees here have only had 22 years to grow. Because like most developments, they just took it down to the dirt. You know, anything that was here before didn't survive making it into a dwelling for human beings. So it's all new saplings when we moved in. Now they're probably 20 feet. These are maples. They're probably 20 feet now. And some of them have been cut down because the care that they have received has caused them to grow secondary roots on the top, and it's broken into some foundations and such like that. That's like, you know, their solution was to cut the tree down and put a little sapling back in there. We didn't have that done, so now we're having a tree that's overtaking the roof line of the house. I could write a treatise on why one shouldn't move into a dwelling that's so close to your neighbors, for one thing, and that the land around it is owned by somebody else. It's just not the best way to handle this. And you were right. I'll just have to be one more person to tell you that you were right in insisting that you not live where a group, an association of people controlled. It is a commune, to just put it mildly. It is a commune here. KK4JBQ.
Because I dealt with real estate, heard stories. I had a good friend who was a president of a association down in Florida, and he had some real war stories about all kinds of things. In terms of, when he took over, he got it all straightened out. There was all kinds of fraud and other stuff going on. I'm looking back at your house. If you trying to think about how this delta loop would work, the total length is about 135 feet. And I don't know if you have that much of a perimeter in your back.
I never did. In all of that, I never did answer in terms of feet. Now, did I? I think the building may be as much as that, but I'm not comfortable in involving anybody else's structure. All of these buildings are built sharing walls. So I live in a building with six units. And there, right behind me, this wall right behind my head here is shared with the unit on the other side. Now, I've lived in apartments before. It's the same thing. And you would think gave for this place 22 years ago that we would have what's called, I understand now, a patio home. That is to say, a home whose walls are all their own. It's all one dwelling. But that's not the case here. This is communal dwelling. And as I say, I'm not comfortable involving anybody else's, using parts of anybody else's structure. But that has occurred to me because we have guttering that goes around the whole place, broken up, but because the architecture here is, this is a house, if you added up the gables, what was that famous literary house with 7 gables? I think we have about 14 gables. If you just looked at this one building that I'm in, 17 gables. They just worked it in every way they could. And it doesn't look like a gingerbread house. No, it doesn't look like it. It's attractive. They all are. But it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare. We've had the roofs replaced twice because of hail. We've had in 22 years we've had 2 hailstorms that has torn the roofs off these homes. And there's probably 300 families here in this development. So you can imagine it was something like $18 million to replace the roofs. and then you find another insurance company. KK4JBQ.
We're using gutters, but I think that was pretty much a circumference of their own house. Do you have access to an attic?
I've entertained that idea too, and the attic is very small. It's probably what you can walk in, which has any height at all, is, I would say, maybe 10 by 14. And that has all the mechanicals in it. Heating, air conditioning, all of the all the mechanicals are in that one space above, not above my head here, but not much of an attic at all, no. I would have to say no. It would be hard to walk around in there too because of it's not a solid floor. You're walking on the beams above your head, if you can find them. And you wouldn't want to step in the wrong place. Your foot would come through the room below. So there would be a lot of interference. The ductwork that they have for the HVAC, that practically occupies the space up there. And it's very difficult to walk around. Putting an antenna there would be a nightmare, logistically. KK4JPQ.
Thinking about was a loop. When I was looking at the antennas, I was looking at loops that are about 3 to 5 feet in diameter. And I have seen some people in similar situations to yours where they have put these in horizontally underneath the balcony or on the roof of a balcony on a multi-story building. And some of them have put them in the way of an umbrella, an outside umbrella, where they actually have turned that umbrella into an antenna.
So both of those might have a little promise. Okay. I don't think there's you have to think about your especially with the loop because of the focus of the RF. A loop is sort of like a lens for RF, the way I understand it. And you don't want to be in front of those things when you transmit. Not as bad as a microwave, but enough danger for RF exposure, RFI exposure, that I just wouldn't want that possibility. So anyway, the an antenna from a patio umbrella. That's interesting. How would that be imagined?
Have you seen antennas that look like an umbrella frame twisted the wrong way and pointed up that would collect water rather than let it drain? Have you seen antennas that look like that?
Yeah, I have. I forget what name was used for them, but I have seen those. Now, you have to imagine that the diameter that you could fit inside the patio is at most 8 feet. That's 8 feet from the building, from one side of the building to the. There is a privacy fence all around that small patio. It's 8 by 12. So 8 feet is the diameter that you'd be talking about. And I don't know what, so that would be 4 feet radius, a 4-foot radius. I don't know, that wouldn't get you much above, or much, I should say, much below 2 meters. And I have a decent 2-meter antenna. That's what I'm talking on now. It's something that Chad put together for me. And probably the best antenna that I've had in the 12 years that I've been a ham.
Here with a company called The Wireman?
I'm familiar with him. He's been at several of the Hamfests. I think I've seen him at the Upstate Hamfest in Spartanburg, and there's a Hamfest in Greenwood. I believe he was there. He's famous for Hamfests. I think he goes to Dayton. Yeah, and I think I've talked with the son-in-law of that concern. They're nice people.
Together this one, I ordered a bunch of stuff from them, and I talked with a woman there called Barbara, very knowledgeable about putting together this loop or delta. I got this from one of the guys over in the Hendersonville Club, and she gave me some real good advice about what to do with it and how to do it. You might want to call them and ask her if she has any suggestions about your layout. She may have, I'm sure she's had to deal with this before and might have some ideas. I've been extremely happy with this delta loop. It's in this shape basically of an inverted delta because the one leg is up top horizontal and the other two going down in the V toward about a 1-foot height. It's following the terrain. It's at 45 degree roughly slope. And it's pointing east. It's on the side of a mountain where I live. And I had expected not to be able to talk to states out west. I'm taking a break. The first station I got when I got on the air with it was Mesa, Arizona, which really surprised me. The next station was Quebec in Canada, and the next station was Cyprus. Over.
So can I ask how long ago this was?
I got on the air on 18 July, so I've been on almost 2 months now. I have gotten 40 countries, about half the states. The furthest west state was Alaska. I got to Washington State, California, not often, but some. I've talked to South Africa, to Chile, to Panama, Brazil, Guyana, Suriname, and I'm getting 360 degree out of this thing, which I had not expected because it's, and I don't know, I had a lot of trouble talking to North Carolina states because I think it's a low angle takeoff. Thank you.
it right, it is a low angle takeoff, and you have a skip zone that would include North Carolina. That sounds good. Cycle 25 has been really good for you. Yeah. See, I haven't tried HF since, oh gosh, the middle of cycle 24. I haven't had, well, I had one little vertical 20-meter piece of wire for a time until it was discovered on my patio. It was within the boundary of my patio, and yet it was an antenna, and that's specifically prohibited in my lease. I don't have a lease. In my agreement with the communists who run this place. And so I had to take that down. But that was the one in the last 10 years, that's the one HF contact that I've had, and it was Vermont. And he caught me on the backside of his Step IR, a beautiful station and a beautiful antenna. And when he turned it around, he nearly blew up my radio. I had turned it up a little bit so I could hear him, you know, but he was talking to me on the backside of his Step IR. I don't know if it was a log periodic or if it was simply a Yagi design. But anyhow, he turned it around and he was just shooting that RF right down on top of me, very strong. So I have one HF contact in 10 years and one QSL card. He was nice enough to send me a QSL card, and he even said, you know, if you don't have one yet, I understand. You don't have to send one. But I thought it being your first, and of course I told him that, it being your first, I thought I would send you a card. And so there's kind of a poor history, you might say. And I could not develop the kind of desire that would put, you know, the agreement that I have with these folks, to put that at risk. It could be a lot of trouble. And at this time in my life, I don't need that kind of thing. So they've got me by, you know, the short hairs, as they say, and that's not going to change. I just could not feel good at all by putting the home at risk. And we've had this happen. We've had other things happen with other of our neighbors. Everything from, you know, one lady was upset about someone, a close neighbor of hers, playing with their dog in the backyard. It's a common area that everybody shares. He was playing with the dog with a frisbee, right? And it was such a kerfuffle that person moved. They just pulled up stakes and left. And that was kind of famous, and she was seen as a kind of a celebrity. And I'm not kidding you. Inside HOAs is no place a ham has any business if that's where your head is. So I've had to think about it all differently. So HF is not anything I can actually cultivate a desire for. That's the way I feel about it. And so I thank you for your suggestions and all. But for every suggestion, I have a counter. I encounter fear. That's what they've given me. And I'm sorry to say that. It is not fear for me. No, it's not that at all. I'm fearful for what I might pass on and leave to Donna. You know, this is her home too. So, Ed, I think you understand, don't you? KK4JDQ.
Understand. Have you considered a flagpole? I know a lot of people are using flagpoles and turning them into antennas. I think some people are actually making antennas that look like flagpoles.
There are commercially available flagpole antennas. And I've looked at a lot of different solutions to something like this. To be in a block building, a shared building, I don't know what the proper name for it is, that really complicates anything that might be on the peripheral of the house or sharing or using the house itself as a structure, never mind the RF interference that you get from, you know, close proximity of antennas and house wiring. No, it's the fact that these walls are shared with other people that complicates the issue. But I would have had one out there already, I suppose, if the tree wasn't in the way. Remember the 20-foot maple that I spoke to you about? It dominates the front yard. It takes up, well, the drip line of this tree occupies probably 70% of the area. You know what I'm talking about, the drip line of the tree. 70% of the area of that front yard. It's a huge tree by now. So, you know, and having it anywhere in the back is kind of it's a nonsensical thing because there's nothing back in the back that's more than, I'd say, to 10 feet tall. And that's by design. Everything was planned here. Everything was constructed in such a way as to give them, well, as it turns out, maybe I should put it that way, as it turns out, it gives them absolute power over what's planted in the ground. These are what the covenants, they actually use that word. This is what the covenants are specific about. What is planted in the ground or visible from the street or, you know, whatever. And our back is visible at a couple of angles from the street. So they got you. You know, it is a big gotcha. All the utilities are underground, so there are no wires in the air. You couldn't hide a wire if you wanted to. It would be sticking out like a sore thumb because there's nothing else like it around. Ed, I thank you for joining the many who have tried to solve this puzzle for me. And I think I'm just going to let it be. I can't describe the container it would take to house the desire that I have had in the past. But I just can't risk causing trouble. Donna is a ham, and she understands all my desires, but she doesn't practice the hobby, as it were. She took the test. She has a call sign because her dad was a ham. He was my Elmer. And when he passed, she wanted that call sign. She knew she could have it. She says, what do I got to do? I want his call sign. But she doesn't practice the hobby, you might say. KK4JPQ.
Oh, yeah, I completely understand. You're part of a condominium, and a lot of people like them, and a lot of people, the main reason they say is, oh, I don't have to cut the grass. Well, I don't cut my own grass either, and I'm 100 yards away from the nearest neighbor. The best reason for having a condominium that I've ever heard was from a classmate who had a condo apartment in a high-rise building, I don't know, 5 to 10 stories high. And I asked him about, why do you have it like that? He says, well, I travel. And when I've got this apartment five stories up, nobody knows whether I'm home or not.
And I suppose if obscurity is what you're looking for, I've lived in apartments too, not in huge apartment buildings, but you do become a part of the landscape, as it were. And what's visible is maybe a window, especially if you have one wall, one exterior wall, and you might have one or two windows that would indicate you have anything to do with the rest of the world. It served a purpose, my living in apartments, in other places, at other times in my life. I kind of liked where I grew up. I grew up with what my dad called a table garden. We were sitting on about 3 acres of land, and he worked that land, and we ate from that land. And he built what he wanted to build, and he altered the house the way, you know, to suit him, you know, building a driveway and a carport over the driveway, and he increased the footprint of the house. Probably he doubled it from the house that we moved in back in the early 50s. No, it was the mid-50s, that's right, back in the mid-50s. I was already here. In the world, I should say. I was about 9 years old when we moved there. And there were woods at that time. There were woods all around us. And I just loved, and this was in the mountains of East Tennessee, so, you know, it's ideal. So apartment living was very far from that, and a different thing, but it was necessary, because I was pulling myself up with a slender rope. It would be, that's too much history to go through over the radio, but it took a long time to get in my own home. A long time. I think we were both in our late 50s when we moved in here. That'd be about 22 years ago. Anyway, Ed, as Chad says and as others that have said, I'm tired of the beginning of the show. And I have forgotten what keeping a grip on this push-to-talk all about. You know, it's probably counterintuitive, but other things that you would use this way have latches in the switches, you know. And I think some hand controls or even foot controls or desktop mics have latching push-to-talk. But my hand's kind of wearing out. Been good talking with you. I certainly appreciate your listening to my ramblings and all of your suggestions. I certainly appreciate that. And they go into a stack of good notions. And thanks for the other things you recommend. This Winstead document, I'm going to read that. I'm going to move along and we haven't had an opportunity, I guess, or taken one to have a conversation like this. So you get yourself some good rest, and I appreciate you. You have a good night. This is KK4JBQ, and I'll be moving along on your final.
All right. I'll read that file. I'd be curious about your reactions to it. And when we talk again, I'll have another file for you to look at. And I completely understand the HOA stuff. There is a meeting here in town on the 21st because the SCORE organization, which is executives helping people with businesses, has had a series of programs about that, and this is going to be a summary, so I'm real curious as to what they're going to do. We'll talk to you later. This is WD8RON, clear.